This chazar is a chenish barichet chashang with Yehuda Masechet Chagiga Daf Chav Gimel. Mishnah said a noisias hamedrash, noisias hatruma v'chul. Fekmer, why can't one carry something which is tami medrash at the same time that he carries kodesh also? Where it says because of a story that was related by Rabbi Yehuda named Shmuel, in which a person was carrying a barrel of kodesh wine and his sandal strap ripped. He placed the sandal, which was tami medrash, on the barrel and it fell into the airspace of the barrel, thereby making the entire barrel tami medrash. At that time, the Rabbanan instituted that one who's carrying something which is tami medrash may not also carry kodesh at the same time. Why wasn't the Gzeira instituted by one carrying Truma as well? The Mara says, the Mishnah follows Rav Chanan ben Akavia, who says elsewhere regarding the Gzeira made for transporting the Parah Aduma ashes, that the Gzeira was only made in the exact circumstances that caused the Gzeira to be made altogether. Similarly, in this case, the Gzeira was only made in the case of Kodesh, because that was the circumstance of the case of the story that brought about the whole Gzeira. Fekmar, was the Gzeira also instituted to prohibit carrying a Tahar sandal while carrying Kodesh? Also, was the Gzeira only instituted when carrying an open barrel, or even when carrying a closed barrel? Third question, if someone carried medrash while carrying kodesh, does the Gzeira make it that the kodesh becomes automatically tameh even if it does not touch it or not? Rav says, regarding the last question, Rav Eila said that if one does carry them together, the kodesh becomes tameh. Rav Zeira said it remains tohar. Regarding the other two questions, the Gemara doesn't answer. The Mishnah said, "Kelim anigmar mitahara v'chulu." In fact, Gemara, who is the one that completed the keli? If it was a chaver, then why would the keli need to be toivled? If it was an amoritz, then how could the Mishnah refer to it as a keli that was completed mitahara? So Rabbi Shila named Rav Masna named Shmuel said the keli was completed by a chaver. The reason it has to be toivled is that we're concerned that an amoritz may have spit onto it, which would require it to be toivled. Why are we concerned that he spit onto it? When are we concerned that he spit onto it? If he spit onto it before it was completed, it's not yet a keli. It doesn't become tummy. If the keli was already completed, then certainly the chaver would make sure that such a thing would not happen because he's a chaver. So what's the concern? Marcel, we're concerned that he spit on it before it became a completed keli, but the spit, the saliva remained moist and therefore capable of making something else tummy, even until after it became a completed keli. The Gemara says the mission seems to suggest that the completed keli would need tefillah, but would not need har of shemesh, because it only says it needs tefillah. This would not follow the view of Rabbi Eliezer of a Mishnah regarding the keli used for the parah aduma process, because the tzedukim would say that anything that was tummy and underwent the tefillah may not be used for the parah aduma until it first had har of shemesh. To counter that view, the Rabbanan instituted that the kelim and the kohen involved in the process should be made tummy, should undergo a tefillah, and should be used in the process before they have har of shemesh. Regarding the tube used to hold the ashes, Rabbi Eliezer says it must undergo tefillah since it's a new keli that's being used for Kodesh and can then be immediately used for the Parah Aduma process. Now, if a new keli used for Kodesh never needs Har of Shemesh, how is the immediate use of this tube showing that we're countering the view of Tzedukim? It must be there, but Eliezer holds that typically such new keli meets tefillah and Har of Shemesh. Based on this view, our Mishnah does not follow Rabbi Eliezer. Rav said it may be done Mishnah to even follow Rabbi Eliezer. Regarding the keli made for the Parah Aduma process, the Rabbanan instituted that the tube should become tummy as if from a sheretz, which typically does need Har of Shemesh. That's how we counter the view of the tzedukim when it's used immediately after tefillah. In fact, if it's treated like a keli that became tummy from a sheretz, it should not make a person tummy. And yet, we learn that the one who cuts or toivels the tube must toivel himself afterwards as well. Mar said the Rabbanan instituted that the tube should become tummy as if it's from a mace, but not in the way that it requires sprinkling on the third and seventh day, rather, as if it's tummy from a mace and is already holding by the seventh day after having been sprinkled upon. So it only needs tefillah and Har of Shemesh, but it could also make people tameh. But my Abayi says there are no new halachas of tumah for the Parah Aduma, but this would seem to be a new halacha. Abayi said the Abayi means that the Rabbanan did not say something that is not fit to become tameh should become tameh, meaning like that a shovel should become tameh as medrash. That they wouldn't say, because only something that's meant for sitting upon becomes tameh. However, the Abayi does not mean that they would not assign tumah to something like the tube that is actually susceptible to that type of tumah, meaning tumas meis. Mishnah then said, "Akli mitzayref mashir b'toyichel lekodesh v'chulu." Rav Chanan said that we learned this, that the items in a keli combined for purposes of kodeshim from a pasuk. If Kahana asked, we find the Mishnah where Pshim ben Beseir said that this combination rule. He said the combination rule for the parah aduma ashes. Now, that is clearly only the Rabbanan, because the pasuk used by Rav Chanan only discusses items brought onto the mizbeach. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Akiva adds that the combination rule applies to flour of kodesh, to the Keteris, to the Levina, and to the Kohl's. Now, the word adds suggests Rabbi Akiva is saying that these items are also Durabbanan, like the item of Shemim Maseira. This is not like Rav Chanan said, which is based on a pasuk, because he says Duraisa. So the Mara answers, the Rishlok Shonem Vakapara said, and maybe the Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rav Chanan, and he's only adding that the leftover flour that's eaten by the Kohen, which is not subject to the Duraisa combination, is subject to a Gzeira Durabbanan that they also combine. The Duraisa only covers things that must be placed into a Keli, and the leftover flour need not be placed into a Keli, so it could be he agrees that it's only Durabbanan. In fact, Mark, how would we explain that How would that explain what Rabbi Akiva adds about the Ketores and the Levoina? That doesn't explain that. These things need to be in a keli and should therefore be covered by the Deraisa. So Rav Nachman and Rabbi Avua said, the case of Rabbi Akiva is where one placed the items onto a flat piece of leather. In that case, it does not combine Deraisa because there's no base kibble, there's no receptacle. However, the Rabbanon were geyser that it combines in that case as well. Rav Chanan argues on Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who clearly says that our Mishnah's halacha, that the keli combines the item for purposes of Kodesh, is only the Rabbanon.